This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Good morning. If I haven't met you yet, my name's Carson. I'm the worship leader here at Bridges. And we have started implementing this announcement time in between the worship and the sermon. And I've got a few for you today, so hang on. The first one, if you would, check in. We've been asking the church to check in every Sunday for the first couple months of the year. We're just trying to figure out who Bridges Church is and who we are coming out of COVID, and we want to know who's here. So if you would, just scan this QR code. You'll get used to that pretty soon. We have a lot of those. It's going to take you to the message notes today. Those will be very important for you. And then there's a connect card that you can click on, and it'll take you right to the place where you need to fill it out. And if you'll submit that for us, it would be greatly appreciated. And while you guys are doing that, I have two more. We have a women's event coming up here, March 4th and 5th. And if you want more information on that, there should be a flyer that you can grab on the way out that'll have all the information you need on it. If you want to sign up for that, there's also another QR code in the bottom corner here that you guys can scan and sign up that way. And I have one more. As we come into the time of Easter and we're looking forward to that, we are asking the church to go through a time of fasting and praying. And that's going to start on March 2nd. And if you'll scan this QR code here, there should be time slots, and you can sign up for days or times that you want to do that and partake in prayer and fasting. That's all I have today. I'll turn it over to Patrick this morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you guys. Good to have you in the room, and good to have you online as well. We're glad that you're here. Hey, as we get started, I know we did all the QR things, so we got all that. You're like, you're still working on it, aren't you? We gave you three things to do. We're learning how to do this, so if you're still working on it, no problem. I'm going to give you two more things to do. If you have your Bibles, Genesis 22, we're going to get there, so kind of wait, and then if you get the outline today as well. I want to just kind of piggyback while you're doing all that on what he said about Easter and leading up to Easter. You know, COVID has been a test. I don't know if anybody else feel like they've been tested down through this time, whether you've been tested just with your faith or just tested with your patience, tested by the disease, tested by the economy, trying to get workers, volunteers, all these things have been a big test the last 2 years. And so we thought, what can we do to kind of come through this time? And we thought the best thing to do as a church is pray. And so we're asking you guys to join us in prayer. Pray every day, obviously, but during Lent, we're going to just take time and pray specifically for this word that I kind of was just soaked in, and it came to mind is the word resurgence. And it means to give life to, revival to be resurrected, to kind of give new life. And so we're praying that over our church during this time, specifically over people that are going through a tough time. They just need new life. They need new hope. New direction, maybe. So this is what I want you to do is if you can sign up for a specific day, do that. Be praying with us. Also, send in prayer requests. If you know of anybody that's just going through a hard time, just needs some prayer, would you send them their names, or if you want to put it in like initials or something like that, if there's a situation you're dealing with, let us know. We want to join you in prayer and take a day for fasting. You can, we'll send some things about that. Just say, okay, God, here's where we are. We're asking you to work. And that's all it is. We're just recognizing, God, we can't do what you can do. And so we're going to stop and ask you to work. So I want to pray over that now. And so I know we just prayed. We're going to pray again, but over this time, and then we'll jump into the message. Let's pray together. Father God, today, as we approach Lent, which is leading up to Easter, and the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the new life that he brings, I want to pray for that now in the life of our church, the life of the people who call Bridges home, and our family, our friends. So many people are down, and they're discouraged, and they're fighting with different things. Maybe it's mental health issues. It could be financial things, maybe just discouragement. People have lost others in their life, and they're struggling with that. Just so much upheaval in the last few years, Father. I just want to pray now over this church for new life, new hope, new just love in Christ. May we just feel your presence. And this morning, we also want to pray for the people of Ukraine, and I want to pray over those churches that are there as they go through a really difficult test. And we just pray for safety. We pray for your hedge of protection. We pray for your peace above all things, Father God, in our world. So lead us and guide us, teach us from your word, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about tests. So I want to start with a question, and this is not like taking a test in school, but test in life. We're going to be looking at that in Scripture, and as we come through COVID, which again has been a test, I want you to think about what has been your biggest test in life. I mean, kind of process like that, and don't look to the person next to you and say, you're my biggest test, okay? And not this morning, but if they are, kind of process that. But like, what are some things that you have been through in your life that have really tested you, like really pushed you, or you maybe wanted to quit or stop or do something else? Or maybe your faith was tested. Maybe you felt like you needed to just kind of throw your hands up sometimes and wondering, you know, where is God in this? And maybe it was an illness that you went through or someone you loved has gone through. And it really tested you during that time. And there's times you just go, okay, God, I know you're here, but where are you? Or it may have been a relationship that you just couldn't solve and you poured into that. Maybe it was financial, and you went through a test where, like, where's the money going to come through, God? You know, I just don't know. Maybe it was something just as you dealt with it at the time, it just seemed overwhelming. You ever had one of those things that just feels like, this is overwhelming. I don't know how we're going to get through that. So what is the biggest test, and what did you learn from it, and how did it change you? Like, it changes us, right, to go through these tests. I mean, you become something different through that. And it depending on how big it is, it can really make you stop and think and really look at your life in a different way. Just real quick, in my life, like, I was tested when I moved to California. I left everything behind, went out there, and went with my best friend from college and his fiance. They were out there in front of me. They were the only people I knew in California at the time. And I just loaded up my car, and I went. And so that was a big test of faith out there. Getting married is always a test of faith, right, as you get joined two lives together. And I was 27 when we got married, and at the time it seemed old. I don't know how old you were. People had all gotten married by the time I was married. You ever been through that? And you're like, oh, they're all getting married. When's God going to bring that right person into my life? And then we were a little bit later having kids, and so we dealt with everybody else having the baby shower, and you kind of went, when is it going to be our turn, God? You know, maybe you went through something like that. Moving back from California was a test on my wife, I think, more than me. Stacy's a Californian, but it was a test for both of us in that step of faith. Launching Bridges was a huge step of faith. And then going through some different things that we had to go through as a church and just seeing who would God bring. And then we've been tested by faith when my mom had cancer. She had it for about 17 years. That was a long, long test of faith for her and for the family. And like just watching her go through that. And it really tested her faith and it grew her relationship with God. But it wasn't easy, right? Tests are not easy. We don't want to go through a test. But sometimes you can look back with perspective and go, okay, now I kind of understand why I went through that. And then some of you are here today and you're in the biggest test of your life. Or a big one. And you're kind of wondering, like, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, God? And how do I deal with that? So today I want to look at a test, which is probably the biggest test in the Old Testament. And what we're going to do is we're going to wrap up our origin series today, origin story series. We're going to take a break for a while because there's like 50 chapters in Genesis. We weren't going to cover it all over 50 weeks. And we're going to take a break at this event that happened in the life of Abram. So if you have your Bibles, Genesis 22, I want to catch you up. This is a test. And just kind of catch you up if you haven't been here. Genesis 12 is the story of Abram, where God moved him to a land. And then we left off last week with Abram in chapter 16 and Sarah making this crazy decision to have a child through Hagar, which was Sarah's servant, and what developed out of that and all the created a lot of issues. And then if you look in chapter 17, and we're just going to skim through some of this, there was the rite of circumcision, which was a promise to the Jews, the descendants of Abram, that they would have multiple descendants and generation after generation. If you're skimming with me to get to 22, you'll get to 18 and 19. I wish we could spend time on that. It's a theophany, if you've ever heard that phrase before. Or Christophany, which means an appearance of God in the Old Testament. Scholars look at this and go, were there three angels that came to Abram? Was it the Trinity that came and visited Abram? Was it just Jesus and two angels? I mean, there's some language issues going on there. I'm not really sure. All I know is that Abram was just visited by an angel or by God. The angel spoke for God at least, and he told him two things. He said to Abram, you're going to have a child within a year. And then he said, Sodom is going to be destroyed. And Abram goes into this bargaining with God, which sometimes we try to do, and tries to say, well, God, you wouldn't destroy it if there was righteous people there. And he kind of works his way through some numbers. And basically, Abram's questioning God's goodness. God, how could you do that? Maybe you've been there before. But that's chapters 18 and 19. Chapter 20, Abram takes a step back in faith. He had already had an issue one time where about lying about who his wife was down in Egypt. And now there's this local king that Sarah is this beautiful woman, even in her 90s. And this local king, Abimelech, is interested in her. And so again, Abram lies, says she's my sister, not my wife, and created more issues. And that's chapter 20. Chapter 21, after 25 years of waiting, they have Isaac. And that was a wonderful time of just saying, God, you have been faithful. Just like those three songs that we just sang about God's faithfulness, I'm sure that's what Abram was doing. And then you get to chapter 22, and if you're kind of new to the faith, you're going to look at this story and go, what is going on? And why this? And there's a lot of questions that come out of this that I want to kind of work through, because this is a test, and it actually says it's a test. And so Genesis 22, 1 and 2, we're going to start there. We're eventually going to read the first 14 verses to kind of follow along. And this is when Isaac was probably a middle school age, a young teenager, okay? So chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. It says, after these things, the things I just told you about, God's tested Abraham. And that's very important to get. God tested Abraham. This is a test. And he said to him, Abraham, and Abraham said, here I am. And God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I should tell you. For some of us, we get to that, just that point, and we go, who is this God? This is so out of character. And why would he do this, right? What is God thinking? What's going on? I mean, Isaac has been the promise, and now God's saying, I want you to sacrifice to him. And it seems contradictory, right? If you've read the book of Leviticus, you've read the laws, you know it says, do not sacrifice your children. What is God doing? And is this really a good God that would say this to them? And what's he doing to Abram? And why would he do this test? And so you get there and you go, I've got a ton of questions about this. I mean, if you read it for the first time, you're just going, it doesn't make sense. But the key of this is the very beginning. And God tested Abraham. No, this is a test. Now, Abraham had been through several tests already. This is not the first test he's going through. This is the most difficult one. He'd already been through the where test, and maybe you've done that before, where God says, I want you to go to a land I will show you. And the where test is where you ask God this simple question, God, where do you want me to go? And some of you have already experienced that. How many people are actually from Winston-Salem here, from this area? I'm included. How many have moved here from somewhere else, were born somewhere else? Most of you. And did you ask the where test, I mean, the where questions, like, God, where do you want me to go? And you came here, and God brought you here, and you're here today. And it's like, okay, you wrestled with that, some of you. And you're like, why? I always like to ask people, why Winston? Why did you end up here? What did God do to get you here? And why aren't you in Hawaii or somewhere like that? My son's in Malibu today, Malibu, California. It's 78 tomorrow. We're going, God, you could have moved us there too. You could have taken us with him, but he's visiting out there. But it's like, why here? How did you end up here? But you ask that question, God, where do you want me to go? That's what Abram had to deal with, right? Going to be moved. And he went through that and he passed the test. And then the second test he passed was the what test. Like, God, what do you want me to do while I'm here? God, what is it? God, what do you want me to do? And in that question, I think we have that one. God, what do you want me to do? In that question, you're simply saying, God, you have me here. What am I supposed to be about? For Abram, he was told two things. I want you to inhabit the land. And I want you to have children who have children who have children. In other words, you're going to be father of many nations. That's a simple thing, right? But did you ever ask God that? God, what do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to say to this person? God, what do you want me to do in this situation? Have you ever been there before? Like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. It's a great question of faith. It's a test. God, what do you want me to do? The third question is the how question. Abram rightly said, God, how can we have kids? We're too old. Sarah's too old. I'm too old. I mean, we can't take them to baseball and be too old for that. You know, I can't teach them how to play soccer. I can't shoot basketball with them. I'm 100 years old. God, how are you going to do this, right? You ever ask God that? God, we got these bills. How are you going to take care of these bills? God, how are you going to take care of this medical situation? I don't know what to do. The doctors don't know what to do. How are you going to do this, God? How are you going to work out this inheritance thing with my family? We all want to go different way. Like, and how are you going to work this thing out? God, I don't know how to do this. How are you going to do it, God? And the next question is probably the hardest one up to a point. It's the when or how long question, right? How long is this going to take for Abram and Sarah? It was 25 years. We've kind of gone through that between the time God first said it was going to happen until they had Isaac, 25 years. And you may have said to God, how long do I have to go through this particular test, right? How long is this going to take, God, till you answer? I need an answer today. You know what God usually says? If I need an answer today, he's going to answer tomorrow. Have you ever noticed that with God? Where it's like you got 5 minutes left. God is so dramatic. He wants you to just wait to the very end because there's a purpose. But that how long question is a hard one. And that's a test of your faith, isn't it? All those are tests of your faith. But what's the biggest and hardest one of those questions, do you think? Not just those, but there's another word. I think it's the hardest one of all. It's the why question. Isn't that the hardest one? I mean, like when you're in the middle of something and it's a huge test and you go, why? Why, God? You know, I spent some time in Ukraine, just a couple of weeks, but there's some really vibrant churches. I bet today there's at least some people going, why? Why are we going through this? Why is our country going through this? I mean, you've got to be asking that question. For many of you, you've dealt with this question. Why did this happen to someone I care about? Why, God? Why is this happening to me right now? I don't get it, God. I was doing everything you asked me to do. Why? The why question is a really good question. Sometimes the why question won't be answered to get to heaven, but there are some reasons God takes us through tests, and we want to deal with that because Abram was asked to sacrifice his son. And my first question would have been, why? Why? I've done everything you asked me to do. Here's a child that you gave me. You told me he was going to be a baby, a promise. He was going to grow up and have kids. Why are you doing this, God? I would have asked that question, so let's work through why? Why do we go through tests? So let's read on. We'll discover why as we go through it. Verses 3 through 14, I'm just going to read. If you want to follow along, this is the English Standard Version. So after God told him, you're going to sacrifice his son to a place I'm going to show you, this is what happened next. Verse 3. I think can we go back one? Is there one backwards? Or no? There we go. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. And the next verse says, on the third day. This is a great study we don't have time for, but just go back and look at the number of times something happens on the third day, which gives you long enough time to think about something, to dwell on it, and to ask why. Think about the resurrection of Jesus on the third day, right? Just enough time for them to go, what is going on with you, God? Just enough time for it to sink in that there's something has happened with our Lord and he's dead. What's going to happen? Why are we in this place? And then on the third day, he rose. Well, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. He can see the place he's supposed to go. And he said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there, and there's this curious word, and worship. It's an interesting word to use when you're going to go sacrifice your son. And we're going to go over there and worship and come again back to you. It's interesting. He's got this understanding of what's going on that's different. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it on his son Isaac. That must have been a tough thing. If you're a parent, you're going, how does he do this? And he took in his hand the fire, which is in this little clay kind of bowl that they would put like the embers in, the coals in, so they could carry it with them wherever they went, and they could start a fire with it. So that's what he's got. And he's got a knife. And so they went both of them together. An interesting phrase, Isaac's in this too. Isaac's on his faith journey too. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And Abraham said, here I am. Notice that phrase too. Here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So here it is again. So they went, both of them, together. They're in this faith journey together. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, and he laid the wood in order. And then he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And for again, for those of his parents, like, how did he do that? I mean, how did he not just physically, but how did he emotionally do that? I don't know. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but you just got to see, this is something extraordinary he's doing, and the emotions that are going with that. It just says he did it, but it must have been extremely difficult. And then Abraham reached out his hand, and this, again, think as a parent, and took the knife to slaughter his son. The word slaughter, there's such a tough word. It's the ESV. But then, here's the kicker. The angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said three words. And I would have said, whew, you know, like, thank goodness you stopped me. There's got to be something more. But Abraham's at a point in his life, all he said were three words, here I am. And we're going to talk about that. And the angel said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son. And notice the language, your only son for me, echoes of the New Testament in Jesus. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. It wasn't just there, like at that moment, it had been there the whole time. Abraham just didn't know it. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. And it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And if you've read this before, you kind of get used to it. If you've never read it before, you go, this is a story that I don't quite get. It doesn't jive what I know about God. It doesn't fit. And God has to do something really crazy. He did pull his hand back. But why this whole thing? And we want to talk about that. Because when you're in the roughest place, in the darkest place, in the most difficult place, you just want to know why. And so let's work through it. So let's talk about why he went through that. So on your outline, there's three reasons for what we call tests of faith. This is a test. This is a test he's going through, and we want to deal with this because this is where Scripture takes us. So three reasons are on your outline. The first one is, why did he go through this? Number one is to reveal the depth of our faith. Here's the deal. God knew the whole time what he was going to do. God knew the whole time there was going to be a ram there. God knew the whole time what Abraham was going to do. So why the test? And here's the deal. The test is not for the teacher. It's for the student, right? It's always for the student. Why do we take tests? It's not to show how much the teacher knows. It's to show how much the student knows. That's why we take tests. That's why we get grades. If you're in school, you know that they're trying to figure out how much you know. And for Abram, he didn't know how much faith he really had leading up to this. But God wanted to show it to him, wanted to reveal it to him, and let him see. I finished it. You can see this on looking back. A year ago, a little longer than a year ago, I finished my thesis. I worked on a D-min. And I finished it, and it took 197 pages, okay? It was over 220,000 keystrokes. I didn't count them. It tells you when you're done. You ever done that before? You kind of highlight it, go, how many keystrokes is this? 220,000. It took me 5.5 years and a little bit of money. It cost more than a little bit. It cost some money to do that. And I at the time, I will tell you, it was really a hard test. And after I did the thesis, I had to have it checked and put it out there. I had to sit down with these two guys, and it was on Zoom because we couldn't do it in person. And they asked me, what did you learn? And I had to tell him everything I learned through there. And they just listened. And it wasn't a test on those two guys. They already had their doctorates. They already were done with their school. They were on the other side. And their questions were for me. What did you learn? What do you know based on that? So they were trying to figure out and let me figure out how much I actually learned. They'd ask me questions, some that I couldn't answer. And they made me think about stuff. So the tests are for us, right? The test was for Abram. Abram, how much do you really trust me? God said. How far are you willing to trust me? Look at verse 3 again. This is how Abram proved himself. It says, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Two things going on there. Next day, he doesn't wait. He gets up and goes. How much faith does Abraham have? enough to get up the next morning without hesitation, without thinking about it, and he went. I trust you this much, God, that if there's a reason for it, if you have something for me, if you're taking me through test, I'm going to go. He showed it by his actions, right? Last part of that, and he rose and went to the place in which God had told him. That's echoes of chapter 12 where God says, I'll take you to land I will show you. And Abraham went. This has taken years for Abraham to get here. And now when God says, go, he goes. How do you know when you really trust God? How do you know? When you act on it. When you do it. No matter if you understand it or not. And you don't start there. Now, some people had faith at the very beginning. You follow Jesus and you're in 100%. The rest of us have to learn it over a period of time, right? God says, do this. Marry this person. Take this job. Go to this place. And you go. And you're ready. And Abram had finally gotten there. And he showed himself how much faith he had. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way. Hebrews, the writer, is like looking back at Abram in 11:19, and I'm using the Amplified version. I like the way it's written. It says this, for Abraham considered it reasonable to believe that God was able to raise Isaac even from among the dead. Indeed, in a sense that he was prepared to sacrifice Isaac in obedience to God, Abraham did receive him back from the dead, figuratively speaking. So what does that mean? It means that Abram goes, if God calls me to sacrifice my son, and God has promised me that this son will have children, and he hasn't yet, then God is going to have to do something. The only thing he could think of was he'll raise him back from the dead. Even though he'd never seen God do that before, he said, God can do it. God will just raise him back from the dead. And that takes faith, doesn't it? It takes an incredible amount of faith to go, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, except this is my best explanation. And you go to God sometimes, you go, God, there's this rift between me and this other person. And if I go talk to them, it's just going to make it worse, right? But you can bring something back from the dead, even this relationship. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. God, my cousin or my niece or my nephew or my whoever, my best friend, they don't believe in you. And I'm a little bit afraid to share my testimony with them. But if you tell me to, I'm going to go because you can bring life where I cannot. So I'm going to share what I believe, and I'm going to let you take care of it. But you go by faith to do it. Everything in your head's telling you if you do it, it's not good enough, right? But if God does it, it's going to work. That's faith. And Abraham at this point in his life had that kind of faith. God, if my son dies, I've never seen you do it before, but you'll bring him back to life. So therefore, I will do what you asked me to do. At that moment, he revealed his level of faith. When you go through a test by God and from God, you reveal your level of faith. James 2:18, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote this, but someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. And he goes, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, you know what you truly believe when you do what you believe. I wrote the check, God. I don't know how you're going to cover this. I wrote the check. God, I got on the airplane, didn't know what was going to happen. You told me to do this. God, we moved to Winston-Salem. I don't know why we're here, but we're here. You're going to make something happen. We obeyed, and you're going to show us when you're ready, and we're going to just do it. That's the revealing of your faith. So that's why God does it, so you can see what you believe. The second reason I think we go through tests of faith and we go through difficult times, number two, is that it transforms us. It changes us. It makes us into someone else. And exactly what happened to Abraham, he changed over the course of his life. It transforms us when we go through a test. Most of us, if you look back at your life and said this was the test, I would say, did you learn anything? And most people say, yes, I did. Are you different because of the things you went through? You dealt with some sort of tragedy when you were a kid. You dealt with maybe a handicap of some kind, a learning difficulty. Are you any different? And you would say, yes, I'm different. It transforms us, right? Going through difficult times transforms us, and that's why we go through it. In verse 11, Abraham's about ready to take his son's life. And the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and Abraham simply said three words. Here I am. Here I am. And you go, okay, why is that important? That's a servant's kind of statement. Here I am, God. Three words. Here I am. What do you want me to do? And you go, well, why is that important? Well, think about the things he could have done and what's missing. What's missing to me when you look at Abram's life is how did he handle hardships before? Before he laughed at God, when God said, you're going to have a child, he's older, it said Abraham actually fell down laughing, right? Yeah, sure, God, right. I'm going to have a child. I'm too far gone. My wife's too far gone. It just makes me laugh. It's this absurd, God, that you want me to do this. You want me to get up in front of people and speak? No way, God. That's funny. You want me to raise kids? What do I know about raising kids? That's funny. God, you want me to just take this step of faith? That's funny. That's what Abram did. He laughed. When Sarah heard it, what did she do? She laughed. Why'd they call his name Isaac? It means laughter. Every time they called out Isaac's name, it's like, this is funny, God. This is what you did is kind of funny. And that's a way of doubting God, right? It's just absurd. He didn't laugh at God when he said, take your son. He didn't laugh. He didn't think it was silly. He didn't think it was absurd. He did it. He says, here I am, God. Here I am. Second thing that's left out of this is there's no negotiations between Abraham and God. He had tried to negotiate with God with the destruction of Sodom, and he kind of tried to appeal to God's righteousness, said, you wouldn't destroy it if there were 50 or if there were 40, 30, 20, 10. He kind of worked his way down because he doesn't trust God at that point in his life. You ever done that with God? God, I don't really trust you. Things happen in the world. You can't be a good God if bad things happen. Abraham's doing that, and God's saying, I already know what's going on in Sodom. I'm not negotiating with you. There's not 50, there's not 40, there's not 30, there's not 20, there's not 10. You can try this, but you don't really trust me to be righteous. And Abram could have said, God, I can't sacrifice my son. I can't do that. That's not the right thing to do. He didn't do it this time. He simply said, here I am. I trust you, God. If you said it, there's a reason for it. And this is where he's gone. He's gotten that far in his life. Also notice there's not any negotiation. There's no manipulation. There's no control. When Abram would face problems in his past, he would try to trick people, right? He would lie about Sarah being his sister. He would trick people in different ways. He told Abimelech it's his sister. With Hagar, he tried to go around God and go through a different woman. None of those things worked. At this point, there's no tricking God. He doesn't say, let me try something else. Let me manipulate this. Let's get those two other young guys up here. I'll sacrifice them instead of my own son. None of that. He simply says, here I am. And this is the beautiful thing about faith, is it takes a long time to get to this kind of faith, but when you're there, it's like, okay, God, I'm good with whatever you say. And that's not easy to be there, but when you have a peace about it, I'm here in this situation, I'm good with you, God, I'm okay. That's when you've been transformed by your faith. You're different. James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, again in the Amplified, says this, be assured that the testing of your faith, and you will be tested through experience, not just through life readings, but through life itself, it produces endurance, that ability to go a long time, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. I'm okay. And let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing. And this is what God wants for us, to be there. Okay, God, I'm good with whatever you say. That's what tests do. They take us to that point and show us our faith, and they transform us. So if you're in a test right now, one of the questions you should ask is, God, what do you want me to learn, and who do you want me to be based on this experience? Because it's how God teaches us, is through those experiences. So the first thing is he wants to reveal the depth of our faith. The second thing is he wants to transform us through the test. Third thing, if you're going through a test right now, one of the things he wants to do is take you deeper in your understanding of God. He wants to take you deeper in your understanding of who he is. In verse 14, after he had started to sacrifice Isaac and after he found the ram, he learned something about God. In verse 14, he said this. He called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Now, no, Mount Moriah is where the temple was built. It's that place where Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac, and they put the temple there. The temple was destroyed. They rebuilt it there, and now the Dome of the Rock is there. It's the Muslim mosque is there, because they trace their history back to this same moment, too. But it's that place that Abraham goes, "God, I knew who you were. I didn't ever know you as the provider." You ever heard the name Jehovah Jireh, God provides? That's where it's taken from. The name of that mountain is the place where Jehovah Jireh, God provides. And how did Abraham learn this? Did he read it in a book? Did someone teach him that? No, he learned it by experience. Like, we can sit in church and you can tell me, I can tell you all day long that God's our Savior. I can tell you all day long he's your provider. I can tell you all the time he's your rock. You can read it in Scripture. But how do you really learn it? Through a test where you need God to provide, where you need God to be your Savior, where you need God to be your protector. I mean, the Prince of Peace, how do you learn that? When you go through conflict and you see him bring you peace. You can't experience God without the test. That's why it's important. God says, "I want you to know me in a personal way, so you're going through this time, so at the end of it, you will see me." Genesis 17:1, we skipped over this, it was earlier, but I want to take you back. This is what Abram's dealing with at 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless." You ever heard the name El Shaddai? God Almighty, that's where it came from, first time in Scripture. God says, "I am El Shaddai," and Abram goes, "Sure, that's good." When did he learn he was El Shaddai? When Isaac was born, even though he couldn't have children, and Sarah couldn't have children because they were too old, then they said, "Okay, yeah, God, you can do anything. You are the God who's almighty." We sing songs, and I love to sing the songs, but when do they become real, right? When do we become real? Is when you experience God that way. And that only happens through a test. And we look at the test, and I was talking to someone after first service today. They went through a real test when they were younger and they lost their daughter. And he said, "I've learned so much from God from that one experience. I don't ever want to do that again. Never want anybody else to go through that experience. But I learned about God." And that's the thing, isn't it? When you go through it, you're like, "I want it to be gone. I want it to be over." And God said, I'm going to reveal myself to you. You're going to know who I am in a greater way. Not only that, but you're going to be transformed by this. You're going to be different. And not only that, you're going to see if you really trust me or not. And so in the midst of a test, I can't always answer the question why. Like, why is this happening to you? I can say this to you. God's trying to do something in your life. He's trying to grow your faith. He is trying to work in you to change you. And the biggest thing is, he's going to reveal himself to you in a different way if you push through to the end. And that's why we go through tests. And I think where God is pushing us, and we're going to pray about this, and I think he's pushing us in this way. I think he wants us to say simply to God, "Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, however you want me to become, how long it's ever going to take, I trust you, God." That's where Abram was, and that's why we go through tests. So I imagine some of us are going through tests right now, or you know someone is. Can we just stop and pray and just ask God to help us through, that those things will happen in our life and we'll see him and that he will take us through and show us who he is in a greater way? So let's pray together. Father God, this is not an easy event in our study of your word. But you knew the whole time what you're going to do. You knew the whole time that you were going to stop Abram before he sacrificed Isaac. You knew the whole time there was going to be a ram there. You knew all that. Abraham didn't. So you took him through to teach him and to teach us what it really means to have faith. So today we bring you our issues and our problems, or the issues and problems that someone we love is facing. And in the midst of it, we don't know why, and we don't know what's going to happen. We trust you to work it through because you're a good God, and we will see the victory at the end. So I pray for anyone here today that's going through a test. Again, a test of their faith, a test of their finances, a test of their health, a test of their mental health, Father. tests from school or from their job or relationship. And we just put them to your hands and pray for your strength to be in their life, for their hope to be in you, for their faith to grow to the point they're at a supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding, know that you're there and you're going to work it out no matter what. So we pray over this church today, online and in this room, and our loved ones, Father. And we just walk by faith in a good God who always is there for us, who keeps his promises through multiple generations. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.